You're listening to a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio. We're on location in the Africa Command Area of Operations. And joining me in this first segment today is Kevin Olson. Kevin is the Deputy Director at the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. Kevin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, here we go again. Once again, being on the road on a different continent, you're talking about all the great things that Minnesotans are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last time you and I were together traveling, we were doing the 80th anniversary of D-Day, our trip over to Normandy, of course. And what a wonderful trip that was. And here we are again, as you said, traveling together and doing some great things and visiting some troops in the Africa Command Area of Operations. And thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that. Obviously, this was a mission with the Serving Our Troops organization, and I know that you've been involved with them for quite a while. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with the Serving Our Troops organization.
It was a really preposterous proposal for a group of civic leaders to come forward and ask to go abroad in a time of war to serve stakes to our deployed soldiers. This is something that came around back in 2004. And I was in uniform as a staff officer, and I was given the task to find out if this was feasible and to find out how to do it. And lo and behold, we were able to find a way to enable Serving Our Troops to do their very first mission in Kosovo in 2004. The feedback that we got from our deployed unit that was in Kosovo was so positive that we were able to streamline that process. And my gosh, over the last more than 20 years, I believe about 17 different projects, that group has served 150,000 stakes to service members and their families all over the globe. So it's just inspirational to hear, from my vantage point, just what it means to our soldiers who are deployed to get a good meal. Because don't get me wrong, as you know, our food service, our meals, it's not neglected when you're abroad, but there's nothing like this. And then what makes it special is that they, were able to connect families in one way, shape, or form every time, so that this simple thing, dinner with family, it really happens. It makes a difference. So that's a long-winded way of saying is that my job has always been to, translate the military requirements and explain to those that are deployed and their respective commands on how this can happen and why it's beneficial.
And Kevin, having been on that planning side while in uniform early on, to now being a retired colonel from the Minnesota National Guard, actually going on this event and participating in the serving, the preparing and taking care of our servicemen and women receiving the stakes, what is it like being on that side of things versus the planning and a recipient early on?
Well, I would say that it is the amount of service members that come up to you and thank you for being there is probably the most impactful thing. And I know that I have trained myself and to a person, everybody on these traveling trips, they're usually we respond by saying we're here to thank you, but just the gratitude and the appreciation of this taste of home while you're deployed in these austere places, and believe me, this Africa Command Area of Operations, this is austere. To get a steak the same type that you would get at Mancini's is unheard of, and just the gratitude is my greatest takeaway.
And for this trip here, we served a bunch of steaks to the service members, and what a wonderful experience. Of course, for me, this is the first time I've been able to be fully involved with the troops. I've traveled with the Serving Our Troops organization. I've traveled with them before. We went to Norway together. That was kind of a separate mission, you know, different, totally different than this. But I'm wondering if, you know, while you were in the Africa Command Area of Operations here, and you were serving these service members, what kind of feedback specifically were you getting from some of those service members on the ground here in this area?
Well, it's a great steak and a great meal and a great way to, you know, again, just connect them with a taste of home. I really do believe that they felt that love coming from St. Paul and from Minnesota as a whole. And it was great that, you know, those Minnesotans that are over here, well, they're going to get a lot of goodwill for the remainder of their deployment, because they're going to be associated with one of the best nights, or certainly the best meal, probably one of the best nights that so many people had in a long, long time here in AFRICOM.
I want to make sure we shift gears here and get the opportunity to talk about the museum. I'll have Pat Harris on, you know, to talk more about the Serving Our Troops organization in a little while. But let's talk about the museum, Kevin, because we know that, you know, the days are counting down, and we are all looking forward to the grand opening. So tell us a little bit about the status and what's going on with the museum and what we can expect.
Well, the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, it's been around for 50 years. We're celebrating our 50th year this year. But it has been inside the gates of Camp Ripley. It's not in a World War II barracks, but it's in a building that really wasn't designed to be a museum. And it's got some tremendous artifacts in it. It always has. But we really upped our game. And we've built a brand new 40,000 square foot museum on 32 acres outside the gates of Camp Ripley. So it's located at the intersection of Highway 371 and 115, just north of Little Falls, outside of Camp Ripley. It's really going to be a touch point to connect Minnesota's history through all of the items that our service members, through all eras and all branches of service.
And Kevin, the projected grand opening is still September 12th, and at least I believe that's what it is. Can you confirm that?
Yep, absolutely. Confirming that on Saturday, September 12th, that'll be our first official opening day. We'll invite everyone up to have a very brief grand opening ceremony, and then celebrate throughout the day. We'll have a band, and later on in the afternoon, a heritage flyover of some historical warbirds. But it's less about the grand opening than it is about just having a place where Minnesotans can call their own as it relates to their connection to the military. We get a lot of folks that call in with saying that their father, their mother, their grandparent, whomever had some photos or something that was very irrelevant to their military service, or maybe some documentation, perhaps an artifact that they could donate to the museum, or that they could share in their family's history. We're just really excited to see how many people are just fired up about connecting, you know, their family's history, in the context of this institution.
And we're going to run out of time here. We've got just about a minute left. And I know that with the new larger space, we'll see new exhibits and more artifacts out, which is going to be great to see. But I want to make sure in this last, now about 45 seconds, Kevin, you can talk just real quickly about the documentary Resolute, and just give us a quick update on that.
Well, we're very much the era of the global war on terror. And our documentary that'll air on 9/11 is called Resolute, Minnesota's home front since 9/11. It'll really showcase all of the things, including serving our troops, that brought our communities together to support those that were deployed.
Awesome. And Kevin, people want to get more information, maybe donate some money. Where do they go to find out more about the museum?
Well, we're always available online at mnvetmuseum.org. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody coming out on September 12th and continuing to make this a big part of the military community here in Minnesota.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kevin. Thanks for joining us and traveling to the Africa Command Area of Operations to support this big event with our service members here. Look forward to seeing you in September up at the museum. Joining me on this segment of Minnesota Military Radio is Mr. Pat Harris. Pat is the brains behind the Serving Our Troops organization. Pat, hey, welcome.
Yes. Oh, great to be here, Doug. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on this show.
Well, you know, I've known you for a number of years. We first met, I think, when I was on the other side of things, and you were bringing stakes to us in Basra, Iraq. And this time around, Minnesota Military Radio got to join you, and I actually got to be on the serving line and help out. And what a great event this was.
It really was a spectacular event. You know, it really hit all the goals that we started 22 years ago, and this is our 17th project. And 22 years ago, you know, we were sitting over at Mancini's talking about how it wasn't fair that we could be having that steak at Mancini's and a cold beer, and that our troops couldn't do that. And so, you know, here we are 20 plus years later, and we achieved all those goals that we set out to do, which is, you know, number one, you know, serve a really great meal, in this case for our airmen, and then their families back at home. And it was a great meal, and thank you for bearing that heat and serving that up. I mean, a 12-ounce steak on the grill, you know, in Africa, pretty amazing, shipped all the way from home. So I saw a lot of smiling faces and surprise faces to see this gigantic steak on the plate that was cooked the way they want it, you know. And so we were really happy with how the meal came down. You know, John Tanucci from the Colossal Cafe, you know, was leading that effort with a whole ton of other people, and John's just a master. You know, we had issues with the coals not starting, so we set up another area for coals, and we were shoveling them in like we were working, you know, in a coal mine almost, and really amazing how it went down, you know, and just a really great meal, you know, and then I think you could see it, one of our goals is to send a message of support all the way from Minnesota to, in this case, a base in Africa. And I mean, you could see that on their faces. I mean, you really could. And, you know, we can talk about the home event, but we had 400 plus families at Mancini's. And you could just kind of feel this vibe that, hey, you know what? You know, we're all in this together. You know, the state's in it with us. And that was one of our goals. And then to tell the rest of Minnesota, you know, we got Guard members that are deployed. You know, and we did that in a lot of different ways, making sure the rest of the state knows that, you know, people are in harm's way, you know, and families, you know, we consider families deployed as well, you know. And so they're all in it together, and we want people to know about that.
Well, what a great event it was, for sure. And, you know, it's a lot of effort goes into the planning and getting all the supplies over there. And I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about the crew that you assemble to bring overseas to put on this fantastic meal.
Well, you know, we try to get, you know, people that represent all different elements of our community. You know, obviously the meal is the message. And so I have to bring, you know, we have to bring a really group of people that are skilled at it, you know, and John Tanucci leading it, Ted Casper from the Nook and Shamrocks, and we had Skinners, folks from Skinners and Mancini's and all these other folks that can really execute, you know. I mean, you don't want me leading the cooking effort. You know, that wasn't going to come out good in that case. And so we have that group, and then, you know, we got incredible support from our companies. We had Delta Airlines folks, and those two guys were on the grill big time. You know, we got people like XL Energy with John Marshall and other different companies, and longstanding volunteers like Matt Amfing from Mincar, and then this labor group that we've had has been amazing. You know, Joe Fowler from 563, and then we had operating engineers. You know, we had the plumbers and building trades, and you know, those guys really, really can rumble when it comes to getting a job done, you know, and getting it done the right way. And so from, you know, Ryan Davies and Dean Gale and Tom Dicklich as well, I mean, pretty amazing. And so we got a great group that really knows how to gel together and get it done. You know, we got a team at home too, Dennis Rosemark, and a whole bunch of other folks that really can kind of execute the home project and do it all at once. And you know, I would say too, that kind of like the unsung thing and the thing that kind of really gets us going is we got two guys that go ahead of time and they escort the meat, make sure it's safe and delivered on time and the way we wanted it. And that's Todd Hurley from St. Paul Port Authority. He's been doing it for years. And this time he brought Trinidad Uribe from Sprinklers 417. And, you know, those guys had a trip of all trips making sure that we could get the meat to the location we needed. And it wasn't close to Minnesota. It was very far away.
Yeah, I mean, a great effort all the way around. Before we run out of time, though, one of the things that really is interested, that I'm interested to know about is how does something like this actually happen? I'm like, what is the planning that has to go into it? How do you get the coordination done? Because someone has to authorize you to come in and get on a military base so you can serve the fantastic steaks.
Well, you know, we don't do anything without the support of our Minnesota National Guard. So General Menge, we talked to the general and other folks in the Guard and kind of learn about the deployments and, you know, see where this community effort can fit in. I mean, we are constantly raising dollars and garnering support for the project from the community. And, you know, we like to be ready to be able to, you know, execute this meal when the Guard needs us to do it. And so you're just in that constant communication. Kevin Olson, as you know, is a former Guard member. He was in our very first meeting 22 years ago. Kevin Olson was a major then and became a colonel and now retired, and great friend and great partner of this project. And we kind of have a small group and we talk with our Guard, and then we start working with the folks that are on that base all the time to get all their approvals. You know, sometimes it's complex. You know, we've got great support from our legislators in Washington, D.C., you know, from all backgrounds. You know, Amy Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar has been incredible. Representative McCollum, you know, people support us. Ryan Kelly is our friend in D.C., so from Primacy Group. I mean, these folks, it's one of the more extraordinary community efforts I've ever been around in terms of everybody has a role. And there's a lot of people, and they all do it well.
Incredible.
Now, Pat, we're going to run out of time here. I got about 2.5 minutes or so, and there was something real special about this trip. Normally not something that's done, but you were able to do a civic engagement, too, with a Books for Africa event. And what a fantastic event. Maybe you can give us the quick down and dirty on that.
Yeah, it was incredible. Pat Plonsky from Books for Africa came with us. They are the largest shipper of books to the African continent, and they had shipped books to the location. And our group was able to go to a school for a reception with the U.S. ambassador and see where those books had gone and interact with those students. It was great for our team. You know, we were happy to be a part of this St. Paul-based nonprofit that has been doing this for multiple decades and really making a difference. It was moving, I think, for everybody. And for us, it was exceptional to be able to engage with the local community where we were doing the event.
Yeah, I thought it was especially neat. These young kids were so excited to show how they are learning to speak English and read English, the books that are being sent over, and just an overall touching a moment for me especially.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, that's something that we're going to look to in the future, is maybe we can do something in the communities where these bases are located and make a difference in that level too. Like I said, the ambassador was there and there was a whole ceremony with the Minister of Education. Just a spectacular opportunity and really good for our team to be a part of Books for Africa as well.
I've got less than a minute here. Quickly, feedback that you received from the airmen on the ground about the meal, and then tell us where to go get more information.
Feedback's amazing. We get tons of emails. We get comments. I think people were really moved by it, and I think we achieved our goal of just showing that there's a community behind those airmen and behind the families, and from all states, actually. And feedback has been really extraordinary and quite moving, and we were happy to be a part of it. Folks can always get on to servingourtroops.com. You know, we're always looking for financial support. We love having volunteers. We love people learning about the projects. Just head to servingourtroops.com, and they can hear all about it.
Well, I look forward to the next opportunity to travel with you all. This is just a fantastic organization. Had a great time hanging with you and the crew and serving up the steaks.
You're always welcome, Doug, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
All right. Great having you on the show as well. In this segment, I get the opportunity to speak with Colonel Jesse Carlson and Command Chief Master Sergeant Rick Schumacher with the Minnesota Air National Guard. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us on the show.
All right, Colonel and Chief, you know, here we are overseas. I traveled over with the Serving Our Troops organization to serve up those fantastic Mancini steaks. And it just so happens that you two were able to do a command visit at the same time. And so it's great to see you here. Interesting that we would meet overseas, but maybe I'll start with you, Chief, and you can just give me a little bit of an update. How are the airmen doing?
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for having us. Airmen are doing great. So back in January, I got to go and visit the 148th at a deployed location with TAG. So we would like to return the favor and go visit the 133rd. And it just so happens that Colonel Carlson was able to come with me. And yeah, it's been a great trip, and we're really looking forward to getting home.
Now, I would imagine, Colonel, that the real reason that you guys traveled is you heard that we're going to be serving the steaks over there. It was kind of a long way to travel just to get a good steak, isn't it?
Absolutely. Timing is the key to life. And having the opportunity to see the troops, I just turned over command of the wing just a few days ago. And so the schedule worked out great for me to come over here and see the leadership that I'd been working with for getting ready for the deployment, as well as the installation leadership here. We had an opportunity to meet with them and talk about how our airmen are doing and how important the mission is. It's been a great opportunity.
And when you travel on a mission like this, you know, this is really a quick, you know, in and out. I know that we'll be departing together here. And I'm just wondering, like, when you come in for this short amount of time, what do you focus on? What are you trying to accomplish when you get there on the ground as you're here meeting with command teams and your airmen?
For me, it's really about appreciation. I mean, it's a long trip to get over here. But really, when you look at it in the scheme of things, what we're doing with the travel is nothing compared to what those airmen are doing. And to express our leadership, or express to their leadership, the support that they have back home. And if there's anything that the wing leadership needs, we can help. And then tell the airmen that if there's anything that we need back home, we can help them with that.
Now, Chief, when I was speaking with Kevin Olson previously, you know, he had talked about this austere environment. And I'm just wondering, you know, from your perspective, your interaction with the airmen, how are they adapting to this type of arrangements and really this environment that they're in?
Well, first thing I noticed was the positive attitudes. They all had really good morale. And they were doing very well with their living arrangements, although different. I did get to tour some of them. They're in Connex boxes with two to a room, and with the bathroom down the hall. You got to walk to the showers, walk to the bathroom. So a little bit different, but nothing different than our normal deployed location that we've been doing for years.
Well, I think that's a key point right there, really, is the attitude. And, you know, having spent time with obviously both our soldiers and our airmen, these are very well-trained soldiers and airmen, in this case, mostly airmen. And, you know, they know what the mission is, and they just get after it and keep that as their focus.
Yeah, exactly. I was fortunate to visit my son, who's there as a loadmaster, fortunate to see him, and his crew got alerted for a special MedCon alert, and so they're actually doing the mission for real. So it was great to see them succeed and get the mission done.
Well, that's pretty neat. There were a couple of people traveling with the Serving Our Troops organization that got to see their sons as well. One knew that his father was coming. The other one, it was a big surprise. That's got to be a pretty neat thing to be able to see your son in that environment and doing the job that they've been hired to do.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Realizing that he has a job to do there, so I wasn't there for him. I was there for the airmen, and he respected that, and he got the job done, so it was great.
That's awesome. Now, Colonel, you know, I already mentioned that, you know, I'm here because of the Serving Our Troops organization. You know, you came in a role to visit with your troops, do this command visit. What kind of conversations, or what was your impression, I guess, of the actual Serving Our Troops event? Because I know you were there because we got to visit a little bit, you know, during the course of the meal serving. So what was your impression?
Yeah, it really was a great success, and we had the opportunity. We actually ate our steak along with the installation commander, and he was just looking around baffled by how many people were there. The place that we were eating there typically on a night would have just a couple hundred people. It was literally thousands of people passing through there. And listening to some of the reactions of not just the folks that were from our wing, but from the other entities on base, whether it's contractors, Army, Navy, you name it, all of them were just like, I can't believe this is like a real steak. And then you just saw so many smiles. And, you know, Chief talked about the high morale, but just looking around and seeing all of the smiles, it's that one chance to kind of get away from what you're doing. Everyone's busy trying to get the mission done, but they can just have a night of camaraderie, get to know one another and enjoy a good steak. And then obviously, they now have a greater appreciation for Minnesota and serving our troops.
You know, it's interesting when I was talking to Kevin, he talked about how, you know, with this event, obviously the Serving Our Troops organization went over or came over to see the service men and women from Minnesota. But the 133rd probably developed a little bit more credibility because of this great meal that was brought over.
Yeah, I was talking to the deployed commander, and I told him that I think you've got to get out a jail-free card now, so if there's any shenanigans by any of our troops, we can say, but remember those stakes, and maybe they'll give us a pass.
Now, Chief, what about you as you got to visit with your airmen and enjoy a nice steak with them? What kind of comments were you hearing?
Yeah, I was hearing, not only that our airmen were saying, wow, these steaks are fantastic, but the individuals that have been there for a long time, close to a year, are like, no, these steaks are legit. They're not the normal deployed steak. So I was hearing a lot of comments like that. And just how the togetherness and everybody hanging out together, having a meal, and how important that was, and sharing their stories of how their deployment is going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Colonel, we only have about 2 minutes or so left. And any final comments about the trip here and things going on in AFRICOM? Otherwise, I want to switch gears and talk about the 130s.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, it shows when the airmen know that what they're doing is important. We got there right when everything was kicking off with Iran. And when they see what they're doing really, really matters, and it's not just a training mission back home, you can see that change in intensity that they have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, speaking of back home, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on this program for quite a while now is, you know, the bringing in of the new C-130s. And, you know, it seems like it's forever away, but yet that's not so true. I mean, we know that the plans are in place. I'm just wondering if there's any type of an update, any changes to when the new airframes are coming.
Yeah, so we'll start divesting our current aircraft here over the summer and fall, and we'll expect to see the new one sometime in the spring of 27. We already have some pilots that have gone through training and are back, and they'll be flying with units that already have the J models. But things are really moving along, and it's not going to be that long, and we'll be able to see that new shiny iron on the ramp.
Well, I think that's the great thing. And Chief, real quick here, I had the opportunity to talk to somebody during this visit here, and his job is going to be lost because of the new airframes. And so I know that that's a big concern for the Air National Guard, but you've got a plan to take care of everybody, make sure everybody's got a home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of our flight engineers are going to go back to maintenance. Some are going to transfer into the Loadmaster career field, and some are going to just finish out with the H3s and retire. So we definitely have a good plan for our airmen.
That's awesome. Well, Command Chief, Master Sergeant, the Command Chief of the Air National Guard here, the State Command Chief, Rick Schumacher, and Colonel Jesse Carlson, the A3 for the Minnesota Air National Guard. I appreciate both of you taking a little bit of time away from your troops to just talk to me here on Minnesota Military Radio. Safe travels, and look forward to seeing you back on the other side of the pond.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Looking forward to some cooler weather.
In this final segment of today's show, we're speaking with Joe Fowler. He's the business manager of Laborers Local 563 and a member of the Serving Our Troops organization. Joe, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Doug.
Hey, Joe, you know, we had the opportunity to speak with a couple of the other people that participated in the Serving Our Troops organization. Of course, Pat Harris, you know, the guy that kind of started this whole thing. Just wondering if you might be able to tell us quickly, how long have you been a volunteer with Serving the Troops, and how did you get started?
I started in 2018, and the first overseas opportunity to connect with the Guard was in 2019.
And 2019, since then, what kind of opportunities have you had supporting this particular organization?
Several of them. 2022 was an opportunity to connect with the Norex Troop Exchange in Norway. And then the one that we're on right now, Africa Command Area of Operation.
Yeah, and I think I met you, or really got to know you a little bit better on that special Norway trip. If I remember correctly, that was the 50th anniversary of their partnership.
It absolutely was, 50 years of a partnership with the state of Minnesota.
All right, so you had Norway, now we're over on this side of the world, down here in this side of the world, in Africa. What was your impression of Africa and our deployed airmen here?
Impression of Africa, certainly it was a small area that we've been to. It's a big continent, it's a unique culture compared to where we're at. Very welcoming with the folks that we've been involved with. I would say, as it relates to the soldiers, our soldiers from the 133rd, which is who we kind of followed out here to give a special meal to, were nothing but accommodating for us. But separate from just the 133rd folks that we were here supporting, all of the other soldiers, airmen, et cetera, have been nothing but the kindest to us and accommodating and making sure that we're able to support them and appreciative of what we're doing out here. It's a big morale boost.
Yeah, I mean, all the way out here, Africa, and just wondering if, you know, is this something that you see yourself continuing to partnership with and continue to support into the future here?
Certainly. It's really helped build a passion and made some really good connections for us to be effective as an organization, as a labor union, to be able to do support for our military friends and family members.
Now, you've talked about doing these trips before, and we know how important it is and the relationships that are built as you come out and you meet our deployed service members, whether it's soldiers or airmen from the Minnesota National Guard. I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about how the local 563s, how that relationship is with the Minnesota National Guard, because I would imagine you've built some pretty great relationships just by coming and being involved in the Serving Our Troops organization, and you know, that has probably done other things for you as well.
It has. You know, when I first met Pat, he was on the MAC, or the Metropolitan Airport Commission, and we do a lot of job feeds as an organization for our construction projects, and no different than Serving Our Troops. It's not just the laborers we feed on the job, we feed everybody, all the tradesmen and women. No different than when we're out on some forward operating base, we don't feed just our Minnesota soldiers, we feed everybody on the base who's helping make these missions possible.
You know, when I told you, or I'd mentioned that we had met in Norway, and then my son, who used to be in the air wing with the 133rd, he was in the EIS out there, and I came walking through on the family day, and then all of a sudden, there you are behind the tables with a whole group of people. You're serving up some meals out on the wing.
Absolutely. We've done that since, I believe, the last 5 years. We've done the Minnesota 133rd Airlift Wing Family Days. We'll be doing it again here on June 7th for them. It may not be the Mancini's 12-ounce, you know, top sirloin, wonderfully trimmed steak that that we do with this SOT group, but we do the best hamburgers and hot dogs a person can imagine. And from that side, again, this organization has helped as a catalyst for the relationships that we have been able to build, whether that's the 133rd, whether it's the 34th, which is a common group that we are able to support, as well as also gave some passion to some of the other building trades related organizations and affiliates to become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization through the state building trades as well. And it's really the relationships that we've built here that have allowed that to grow, so much so that the 34 supports the Yellow Ribbon Rib Fest that we do through the building trades, to the point where they actually host it every year for us. Now, for folks who don't know what the Yellow Ribbon Rib Fest is, it is the Minnesota Building Trades way to, at through a nonprofit organization, raise funds to support our Minnesota military veterans and family members of those folks. And we like to say, we may not be building houses every year for folks, but there's plenty of things too big for us to handle, but there's nothing too small for us to try to take care of somebody and or their family member to try to make the life a little bit better for them.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I just will confirm that you actually did grill up some pretty nice burgers out there at the 133rd. You know, having this opportunity again to interact with the soldiers, the airmen, and you said that the organization, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon designation, which is extremely important, I would imagine that you have people that come into the trades that you've supported through that type of a relationship. It's got to be just a great feeling, know you're helping connect people to something that's going to help support them and their family.
It is. As an organization, we'd like to try to use our influence to do good things, and supporting those who have made the sacrifice either through a deployment or the families who are here while their loved ones are deployed really kind of fills the heart, fills the soul, and kind of gets you smiling for a couple months when you can do those good things and like I said, make life a little better for somebody who's just struggling a little bit. From the trade side, certainly soldiers make great apprentices and journeymen and women. And specific to the 34, a lot of their MOSs really tail in real well, whether it's from the masonry side, boilermakers, steam fitters, equipment operators, laborers, etc. If they're looking for an opportunity for great benefits, for a great pension, and for understanding when they need to go do their training or when they're deployed, and to understand their job is going to be back and available for them when they get back, that's what our goal is, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to offer employment opportunities for those who need them or their family members, not just the soldiers and veterans, but also anybody that comes through that, that understands and what we do, we want to bring them in, make them part of our family like the Minnesota Guard, Reserves, et cetera, have done for us. They have taken such good care of us, and being a part of this type of an organization with serving our troops as well as the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a pretty humbling experience. What I thought was going to be a possibly once-in-a-lifetime event has turned into three really, really unique life experiences, like I said, that are pretty humbling. Like I said, this organization is one that is so appreciated, so underrated in the morale that it boosts for the soldiers when they're away from home. I'll just tell you a quick story. I think the first time I did an overseas was in 2019. It was extremely hot, but one of the things that stuck out the most to me was that one of our soldiers was able to go into a private room, have a wonderful meal, live link with his family back home, and got to see his newborn child, or a few months old, but the first time he was able to see his son. That is something that nearly brought tears to my eyes, being a part of an organization that makes those type of situations and scenarios happen for the, you know, somebody who wasn't able to see their child until we were out there serving a steak, and they got to share a home-cooked meal with their family just like they were at the same dinner table.
We just a minute left here, but I have to imagine you kind of alluded to it that you know what, you got involved in this organization, and I imagine you can't believe how well these relationships have developed and how much more appreciative you've become of what our service members go through on these deployed or in these deployed environments.
their involvement in what they do and the sacrifice they make makes it a world better place, and it makes it possible for us to do what we do. They give us our freedom. They maintain our freedom, and without that, we just aren't the America that everybody thinks is the dream, the American dream. And I can't thank SOT and you as well, Doug, enough for your support and let me be involved.
Well, we're great to have you. I mean, don't thank me. I just get to come along and do some interviews. But one more time, we know you've got the big Rib Fest coming up. So yellowribfest.org is where people can go to get involved. And Joe Fowler, thanks so much for, one, supporting our service men and women, and, of course, the Serving Our Troops organization.
Thank you very much, Doug. And real quick, shout out to any of you who have made that sacrifice as a soldier, airman, et cetera. Thank you for what you do. It allows us to do what we do.